Today's year in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubas Daf Mem Gimel. We're beginning six lines from the top, Mem Gimel Aleph, with a new idea, albeit it's based upon what we were learning previously. So we'll just begin. Boi Mine Rabbi Avina Mirusheshes. Rabbi Avina asks Rusheshes the following Shaila. Baz Hanizones Minoachim Maisa Yodel Lemi. A girl whose father Nebuch has passed away, and she's living off the estate of her father, which is now owned by her brothers. As Rashi points out in the Ramasu Basin Izonis Ben Achen, Shekachu Tnaik Suva Bepirkin. We're going to learn later on in our parak that this is the Tnaik Suva, and Rashi quotes it. He says, Binon Nukvin, in the Suva, it says that any daughters that the woman has, the Yahavin Lichi Minoy, that are his, the husband who passes away, they are his daughters. In other words, he had them with this woman. So, Inun Yahon Yasvin Bevesi, that they're entitled to stay in that house, Umizanon, and they're entitled to be fed, min chosai, from my properties, from the estate, ad de til kuchun leguvern, until they're married off. So in other words, the husband and the wife, so any children that they have together, any daughters, so they're entitled to go and still live in the house after the father passes away, so the brothers who inherit the estate still have to support that daughter. So that's what we're referring to over here. Bas hanizones min o'achin. You have the daughter, the sister of these brothers, and she is being supported by the estate that the brothers have inherited. So while in her lifetime, when her father was alive, her Maisi Adel went to her father. So now the question is, the Maisi Adel, this daughter, Maisi Adel, me, who gets them? Does she get them? Or do her brothers take the place of her father, and they're entitled to it? Do we say, B'makum Av Kaimei, and therefore, Mohasa Maisi Adel Liav, Hochanami Maisi Adel Liachin? Do we say that these brothers are essentially supporting her, just like the father supported her, the father was entitled to her Maisi Adel, so to the brothers who have inherited the estate from their father, also are supporting her, and therefore are entitled to the same thing that the father was entitled to. Just like the father was entitled to her Maisi Adel, so too the brothers are entitled now to her Maisi Adel. Or do we say, no, Oduma, Lo Domi Liyad, this is not comparable to the fact that her Maisi Adel went to her father, because her father, Hossam, Midideh Mizzana, he was supporting her. As opposed to now, the brothers, Hocha, Lav Mididhu Mizzana, they're not supporting her. It's the estate of the father that's supporting her. And that was the part of the Tanayi Viksuba. So therefore, they're not really supporting her, and therefore, they're not entitled to give, to get the Maisi Adel from their sister. So that's the question that Rabbi Avina asked Rosheshes. Rosheshes answers, and he says, Amalei Tinisua. We learned this in the Mishnah. This Mishnah is later in the Masechta as well, on Dav Tzadi Hei, where it says, Almana Nizones Minichse Yisomim Umaisi Yadea Shalahen. The Almana also is entitled to be given food and sustenance and housing from the estate of her dead husband. The Yisomim, the sons, whether they're her sons or whether they're his sons from another woman, have to go and support his almana. That's part of the Tanai of the Ksuba. And there it states specifically, Umaisi Adel Shalahan. And since they're supporting her, they're entitled to the Masi Adel. So too, Rav Sheshes says to Rabbi Avina that in this case as well, the brothers who are supporting her are entitled to get her Maisi Adel. So whether this is the widow or whether this is the daughter, it's the same din. So Mordechai says, really? Is the widow and the daughter the same din? Mi dame. They're not really the same. They're not comparable. Because almana, so in regards to the man's almana, lo nichole biharvacha. He's not happy that she's getting rich. He wants his sons to get rich. And therefore, he says, listen, if you have Maisi Adel, they're supporting you. You're taking care of any extra money that you have. I want it to go to my sons. And in that situation, the Mishnah later in the Masechta says that the almana has to give her Maisi Adel to the sons that are supporting her, as opposed to the daughter. What's going on in this man's thinking, the father, that Nebuch is no longer in this world, when he wants his daughter to be sustained well, bito nihole beharbocha, he wants it to have a lot of extra money. So he doesn't want his sons to get it because he wants her to be well sought after in terms of marriage. So if she has more money, she'll be more sought after. So therefore, there's a difference between his wife, the almana, the widow, and his daughter. The widow says she's being taken care of, and therefore she doesn't need the extra money. Whereas my daughter, even though she's being taken care of, I want her to have more money for her dowry, and therefore it's in my daughter's interest that she should keep the money. So it all goes on what the husband slash father is thinking. So the husband doesn't necessarily need his widow to have more money because she's being taken care of. And the daughter, he wants her to have more money so she'll be more sought after in marriage. And therefore, the two cases aren't comparable. Where it says, but if that's true, then how come we find elsewhere that the wife takes precedence over the daughter? Where do we see that? L'neimra, it's from this reasoning that you just said. Debito adifalei mi'almanoso. In his mind, his daughter is a higher priority for having money than his widow. But that doesn't seem to be following the following case, because Rabbi Abba tells the name of Rabbi Yossi, Asu almana etzel habas, like kibas etzel achim. We make the status of the almana in regards to the daughter, when there's a small estate and they're competing, so to say, for that small amount of money, we turn the almana in regards to her daughter in the similar way that we treat a daughter, kibas etzel achim. In other words, the bas etzel achim, when you're dealing with a limited estate, and that's what the Gemara tells us right now, bin nechosim muatim, in the case of a limited estate, maha bas etzel achim, habas nizonus wa achim yishalu apsochim. So af almana etzel abas, almana nizonus wa abas tishol al apsochim. What exactly is this? I said a lot. When the estate is called nechosim muatim, which Rashi defines in Dibur HaMaschil, nechosim muatim, he says, she'ein behem kidei parnosas shneim osor chodesh. The estate has less than support for 12 months for the people that would be using the estate. And therefore, the Gemara Bava Basra tells us, in that situation, where there's a very limited inheritance, it's not enough to support the sons for 12 months, so then, in that situation, the daughter takes precedence in inheriting versus the brothers. Now, the daughter is not entitled to any inheritance, but there's a special rabbinical din that says when there is a daughter, so then the brothers have to go and support her, and that she's entitled to a certain percentage of the estate if it's able to be seen from the previous daughters that got married, so she's entitled to the same type of support. If not, then usually a figure of a tenth of the estate is used, and that's given to the daughter as a dowry. What happens if there's a very small estate? So then, either the brothers inherit the estate and the daughters would have to go out and beg, or we say, let the daughters inherit the estate in that sense that they're supported, and let the brothers go out and beg. So in that situation, when there's a very limited estate, so then we give it all to the daughters and let the brothers go out and beg for their food. It's less embarrassing for the boys to go out and less dangerous for the boys to go out to beg than for the girls. So therefore, we give the limited resources to the girl, even though min hadin, the boys inherited, and make the boys go out and beg. So too, af almana etzel abas, when the choice is a very limited estate to support the almana or to support the daughter, here we say almana nizonis, that we give the food to the almana and let the daughter go out and beg, tishal al apsochim. So if you're telling me, as you just did a minute ago, that the almana doesn't get her maasi adel, but the daughter does, so the daughter is adif, but here you see that the daughter is not adifa, so seems to be a stira. So it says not a steer at all. L'inyan zilusa, in regards to her being in a very sad situation, so then, almanoso adifole. If he has a choice, his wife has to go out and beg, or his daughter has to go out and beg, so he doesn't want his wife to be in an embarrassing situation like that, and he would prefer that she doesn't go out and beg, even though it means that his daughter's going to have to go out and beg. However, in terms of who has extra money, the wife is being taken care of. L'inyan harvacha, in terms of extra money, so then his wife doesn't need the extra money, his daughter does, so be to adifole. So that's why in these two scenarios, one favors the daughter and one favors the almana, the wife. So therefore, in this situation, we have an understanding why each case is the way it is. Now, Moshe Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef asked the following shaila from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Maisi Yodel Umitziyasa, that if the girl has Maisi Yodel, or if she finds something, so that normally goes to the father. So we said, Afa Pishalo Govsa, even though it hasn't yet come into her possession. The Maisi Yodel and the Mitziyah didn't come into her possession. We say, Meisoav Harehei Shalachin. It's as if it went into the father's possession already, and if the father dies, it goes to the brothers. Now, that implies Taimo. That's because the father is alive at that point in time. That she had earned that Maisi Yodel or the Mitziah during her father's lifetime, albeit she hadn't collected it yet, and the rationale is that therefore it belongs already to the father, even though she didn't collect it. It is as if it's collected and therefore it belongs to the father, and therefore we view it as if it's during the Chaya Av, and that's why the brothers get it when the father passes away. But the implication is, holy achar misas av, if this in fact occurred, the Maisi Yodel and the Mitziyosos were after the death of the father, so then it belongs to her, Liatzba. Now, how come? My lav binizones, aren't we talking about here where the daughter is being supported by her brothers, and yet it says beferish that it goes to her and not to her brothers? That goes against what Rav Sheshes said. Skor says, no, we're talking here, lo b'sheino nizones. She's not being supported by the brothers, so that's why our Mishnah says it goes to her. Gemara says, wait a second, if she's not being supported by the brothers, then it's pshita. Maila Meimra, what are you telling me? That she's not being supported by the brothers, why in the world would you think that they should be entitled to a ma'aseh yadav? And you might tell me, well, because in certain situations, a person who's not supporting somebody is still entitled to the ma'aseh yadav. That's only talking about an eved kenani. Afilu l'man diyomar, there's a machlokes. And even if you want to say like the man diyomar, it says, yochol arav, that the master is able to say lo eved, to an eved kenani, lo mar lo eved, asei me, I want you to work for me, veini zoncho, and I'm not going to support you, and you have to go out and beg for your money. So even though there's an opinion that says you can do that by an eved kenani, there's an opinion that says you can't. But according to the opinion that says you can do that, meaning I'm not supporting you, and yet I'm entitled to your ma'aseh yadav, your handiwork, hani mili be eved kenani. That's only a machokis in regards to an eved kenani, because the lo ksiv be imach, because the pasuk doesn't say with you, yavod imach, as opposed to an eved ivri, well, eved ivri, the ksiv be imach, by an eved ivri, it says, kisachir kitoshov ye imach, achnase yovel, yavod imach. So therefore, lo, this doesn't apply. The master can't say to the eved ivri, work for me, and I'm not going to support you. Go out and beg for your money. So if you can't do that for an eved ivri, because you can't be it, you certainly can't do that for your daughter. So then, there's no way that you would even have a havamina to think that if the brothers aren't supporting her, that she should have to give them the ma'aseh yadav. So obviously, a mishnah can't be talking about where the brothers are supporting her. So this goes against Rav Sheshes. Our Mishnah says that the Ma'aseh Yadav are to her, Liatzman. Rav Sheshes says, no, they go to the brothers, and it's talking about a case of Shelo Nizones. So I'm a Rabbi Barula. It says, Lo Nitzucho Elo Liadofa. What it's telling us over here is, our Mishnah is, if the daughter is not being supported by the brothers, in other words, she is not Nizones from them, yet she makes so much extra money, so you might have thought that that should go above and what she needs to take care of herself should go to the brothers. And this is based upon the fact that if the father chooses not to support his daughter, then she's entitled to her ma'aseh yadayim, except if it's above what she needs to live. Then he's still entitled to get it, even if he doesn't support her. So you might have thought that the same thing should apply over here, that the brothers, okay, you can keep whatever you need to tell the sister to support yourself, but anything extra we get. So that's the answer. No, that's not true. Lo nitzucha elo ha'adofa, for the extra money that she brings in above and beyond what she needs to live, that normally would go to the father. So you might think that that should go to the brothers as well. So Kamash will learn that it doesn't. Amar Rava. Rava says, I don't understand. Gabra Rabba ki Rav Yosef. This question that was asked by Rav Yosef, Ma'aseh yadav u'mitziyasa, li'achar misa sa'av, go to herself. So he said, isn't that talking about a case of nizones? And not talking about a regular case where she's not nizones? So how could he have said that? Gabra Rabba ki Rav Yosef, li'oda di'iku adofa? Didn't he know the answer that we just gave in regards to the extra funding that she earns, lahadofa? So what was his question that we say over here, Moshe Rav Yosef? Doesn't make any sense. Because Moshe Tiyufta, so he's asking a kasha, and he didn't really fully understand the sugya, because his kasha is really no kasha, because of hadofa. So you're right, the Gemara says, Eloma Rava, Rava says, Rav Yosef, the reason that Rav Yosef asked the question was because, Masnisin our Mishnah, Gufa Kasha Lei, he found intrinsically problematic, because it said, any handiwork that she has, or any things that she finds, even though she didn't acquire them. So what are you talking about? How could she have handiwork that she didn't yet get paid for? That we could understand. She's been working as a seamstress, and they didn't pay her a weekly salary, but that's as if it's going to come through. But a finding? How could there be a finding that she doesn't yet have to say that that should belong to her father? So mitziyasa miman gavya. What do you mean a finding over here that hasn't yet been collected? If she hasn't found it yet, so it's not a finding. So Moshe says elalav hachi kamar. So you're right. When it said ma'aseh del mitziyasa, it can't be talking about a regular thing that she finds, an aveda that she found that she's entitled to. Ella, what it means is ma'aseh yodel ke mitziyasa, that her handiwork has the same halachic status as her mitzios. Just like ma mitziyasa b'chayi ha'av le'av, that anything she finds while her father is alive, her father is entitled to. Li'acha misa sa'av, nevertheless, after the father dies, it belongs to her. Li'atzma, so too. Af mis ma'isa yodel. Nami b'chayi ha'av le'av. Li'acha misa sa'av, li'atzma, so too her ma'isa yodel. They're compared to her mitzios. During the father's lifetime, the father gets both of them, her mitzios, as well as her ma'isa yodel. But just like there's no mitzios that go to the father after her death, so too there's no ma'aseh yadav that go to the father, meaning the brothers who inherit the father, after the death of the father, even in a case where she's nizones. And that's what Rav Yosef was saying, Shmamina. That's a perfectly good proof. Rav Yosef is correct to say that the Maisi Adel go to her. Now the Gemara says, Om Rav Kahana, my time, what is the reasoning that we don't give the Maisi Adel to the brothers? After all, they did go to the father, and one could argue that the brothers are now supporting her like the father did, so how come we don't give the Maisi Adel, according to Rav Yosef, as we just said, don't give it to the brothers? So they'll say, because the Pasuk tells us, in regards to an Eved Kenani, it says that when you have an Eved Kenani, Visnachaldem, Osom Livnechem Acharechem, that they'll stay in your possession, they'll stay in your estate, and when you pass away, they'll go to your children after you. Now it says, Visnachaldem Osom Livnechem, the Eved Kenani will be a Yerusha to your children, implication being, below Binosechem Livnechem, but not your daughters. They're not a Yerusha for your sons, meaning that your daughter's handiwork, which you were entitled to, that doesn't go over to the sons as a Yerusha. Based upon this pasuk, that only your Eved Kenani goes over to your sons, but not your daughter goes over to your sons. Magid Shein Adam Moris Zechus Bitol of No. And this teaches us a very important rule, that a man doesn't have the right to give over the Zechusim that he had in his daughter to his sons. Now, Maskip or Rabba. Rabba asks on this, and he says, maybe that this pasuk is Nachaltem Osom Levnechem Acharechem is only talking about the knas. It's talking about where a woman was seduced, uknasos, or a knas for an anusa, or other types of knas, vochavolos hakosav medaber, or actual damages that occurred to the woman. So those the father doesn't inherit over to his sons. If the father gets them, that's only the father that gets them. Based upon this pasuk, it's nachaltem osom levnechem acharechem osom levnechem v'lo v'nevastech levnechem. But maybe it's only talking about pitui, the knas of pitui, other knasos, or damage that the father was entitled to. V'chein tana Rabbi Chanina, and this is what Rabbi Chanina said: bepitui abas uknasos v'chavolos hakosu medaber. This pasuk is only excluding those from the father giving them over to his sons when he dies. Only those are not included, but other things would be included. But the Maisi Adah do go over to the sons. After all, they're supporting her, so they should get the Maisi Adah. So you can't bring this riot from this pasuk. It doesn't maybe apply to that. So the Gemara says, no. Chavolos tsaro de gufa ninu. The chavola is considered something that she got because of her own injury, her own personal being hurt. So the Torah doesn't give that over to even the father, and certainly it's not going to give that over to the sons. As Rashi says in the bottom, Rashi, tsaro de gufa hu, that tsaro lo zochi le rachmono la'av. The Gemara in Bava Kama tells us that the father is not entitled to the damages that the woman gets for tsar. That the woman gets for herself. As the Pasuk in Achovel tells us, the Gemara in Achovel tells us, Bivno uvbito akitanim yaslem skula. If they were damaged, he should set up like a trust account for them. And they get that money. He does not have any entitlement to that money. So therefore, how can we say that the father is entitled, the father doesn't give it to his sons, but the father's entitled to the knas as well as chavolos, hakosim medaber. He can't give it over to his sons, but he gets it. He doesn't get it. That's the Gemara's question. Chavolos tsara de gufa ninu, and even the father doesn't get it. Never mind that the sons don't get it. Gemara says, Yataka, right? Amar Rav Yosi bar Chanina. Rav Yosi bar Chanina said, and we turn to Mem Gimel Omid Beis, Shepotso bifaneha. He's dealing here over here with the type of an injury that goes to her face. As the top Rashi says, the ivchisa mikaspa, when the father is entitled to sell his daughter, so if his daughter has an injury on the face, that's going to be causing him a loss of money. And therefore, the isiv la'ab dilehu, the hayesh lo bomecha, since the father technically has the right to sell his daughter, which again should only be done in situations where he can't support his daughter, and he's basically selling her off to marry her, but bottom line is, the father does have the right to sell his daughter. And if she has an injury on her face, so beforehand he would get $1,000 for her, now he'll only get $500 for her. So he's the one that's suffering that damage. Therefore, he's entitled to damages for pitzor bifonel, as opposed to a petza that was someplace else in her body for which she had tsar. So she's entitled to that tsar because it doesn't impact her ability to be sold. And therefore, the father's not entitled to that. Okay, these are very tough concepts for us to understand in our modern understanding of damages, where none of these dinim are practical or applicable because we don't normally sell off our daughters in any way, shape, or form, and where these types of punishments aren't normally given out nowadays because you need based in smuchim to give out certain types of punishments and certain types of damages, and we don't have that. Okay. In any event, the Gemara continues and says, Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Nas, Amar Rav. Now, the first version that we have over here is Rav Zeira. As Rashi points out, he was known as Rav Zeira when he was in Bavel, because in Bavel he didn't get smicha, because the Rabbanim in Bavel were in Smuchen. And only when he went to Eretz Yisrael did he become Rabbi Zeira, when he learned by Rav Yochanan, and he got smicha from Rav Yochanan. So, the first version of this, that it was Rav Zeira in his youth, before he went to Eretz Yisrael, who said this vart over in the name of Amar Rav Nas, Amar Rav. He said it over in the name of Rav Nas, he said it over in the name of Rav. And others said it, that he said it later in life, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav Masna, Amar Rav, that he said this after he got smicha and Eretz Yisrael from Rav Yochanan. In any event, his statement was in the name of Rav Masna, Amar Rav, the following: Bas Hanizones Menoachim. If the daughter is in fact being supported by the brothers, her father passed away, and her brothers are supporting her, so Maisa Yodeli Atzma. They also said that. Rav said that the Maisi Yodea belonged to her. And based upon this pasuk, this drasha that we just said, Rav said as well that her handiwork is not transferred over from going to the father to going to the father's inheritors, the father's sons, her brothers, because only the Eved Kenani is transferred over that way, but not the daughters, so to say, teaching us. The bottom line is, Rav said the same thing, that the father doesn't have the right to give over the zechus that he had in his daughter to his sons. Avimi bar papi, shokud amora. Avimi bar papi said, you're telling me that Rav said it? I'm telling you that the shokud said it. Who is the shokud? So this is Shmuel. Rashi says, Shmuel, havikorele shokud al shum tehilchus kavose bedinim mamos. Bishokud al dvarim leorim kilchusa. That Shmuel was in fact so careful in his understanding of dinim mamos that he always was the one that we pass like. We always say, we pass it like Rav by Yisurim, and we pass him like Shmuel by dinim mamos. In any event, who is shokud? The Gemara says, shokud manu Shmuel. So Gemara says, but Rav Amar, how can you tell me Avimi bar Papa that Shmuel said it? We just learned from Rav Zeira or Rabbi Zeira that Rav Masa said that this was said over by Rav. So Gemara says, you're right, Ema Av Shokud Amara, that not only did Rav say it, but also Shmuel said it. Okay, no stira here. Finally, Amamar bar Ameimar Ravashi, Mar, who was the son of Ameimar, said to Ravashi, Hochi Amrei Nardoi. This is what they learned in Nardoi. Hilchasa Kavasi the Rav Sheshes. We paskin like Rav Sheshes. We had that earlier in the Shia today, that the daughters, Maisa Yodea, when she's supported by the brothers, do go to the brothers. However, we just learned now, Rav Sheshes Omar, Hilchasa Kavasi the Rav. But Rav Ashi said that Lochas follows Rav's opinion that it doesn't go to the brothers, and we paskin the Hilchasa Kavasi the Rav. We paskin like Rav in this situation. Next Mishnah. Hama'aris es bito, if a man marries off the first stage of marriage, his daughter, he does erisin for his daughter, and then Nebuch, the Gersha, she is divorced before she has consummation of the marriage, before she is a Nesuah. And then he marries her off again. The father didn't lose the right to marry her off if she didn't have Nisuin. So Ersa, he goes and marries her off again to somebody else, the Nisambla. And now the second time, she, Nebuch, is a widow. So her husband also, before the Nisuin, this time, instead of divorcing her, he passes away. So, case number one, the husband first divorced her, and she returns to the father. He then remarries her. And case number two, the husband dies. In both situations, she was only in Arusa. So, the Mishnah tells us, in both situations, Ksubasa Shalo. The father is entitled to the Ksuba from the first husband, and the father is entitled to the Ksuba from the second husband. However, Hisia, if he gave it to the first husband in Erisin and Nisuin, and then Vigersha, and then she's divorced by the first husband, and then Hisia, he marries her off the second time. Now, obviously, he has no halachic right midarais to marry her off the second time. It must be talking about that we're dealing with the Yesoma Bechaye Avia. Once the father marries her off, and it's a full-fledged marriage daraisa, and she's in the Sua, so then the father hasn't the right to marry her off a second time. However, just like if the father dies, we allow midirabbanan, the mother or the older brothers, to go and marry her off, so too we allow the father, if he's still alive, to go marry her off. So that must be what it's talking about. Others have the girsa that it doesn't say over here that he see her the second time, that the father didn't marry her off, she just got married a second time. In any event, the case over here is she's married off the first time by the father with a full nisuin, and she's divorced, and then Hisia, or she's married on her own, or the father married her midirabbanan, and then she's fully married on a deraisa level, she becomes a gedola, minis armula. And then she, in fact, becomes a widow. So here, ksubasa shalah, both in the first case, because she had full nisuin, so the ksuba goes to her, and certainly in the second case, where she's not married off by the father on a deraisa level, the ksuba goes to her. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Harishona shel av. No, Rabbi Yehuda says the first one belongs to the father. We'll have to explain why. If she was fully married and the ksuba is written at the time of the nisuin, so how is the father entitled to it? So we'll explain that in the Gemara, but everybody agrees that the second one certainly belongs to her. Rabbi Yehuda only argues with the Tanakama in regards to the first ksuba after she's fully married, not certainly the second one. Harishona shel av, only in that situation. Or below, the Chacham responded back to Rabbi Yehuda, no. Mishihisiyah ain lavi rishus ba. That once she's married, the word im mishihisiyah, the Besoros Hashas deletes. So mishihisiyah, once the father marries her off and she's a full nusua, he no longer has rishus in her, and therefore he's not entitled to the ksuba if the first husband divorces her. Okay, so the first thing that the Gemara's want to say is, why do we switch off the cases? Why the first case in both the Reish and the Sefer of the Mishnah was a divorce, and the second case was a death? Why not have them both be divorced or both be death? So, Taima, the Hisiyah of Igersha, Hisiyah of Inisarmala. The reason that we specifically said that it was a case of Nisun and then Gerishin, and Nisun and then a widow, that Nebuch, the husband, died, why didn't we keep it the same way? Both of them would be talking about Nisarmala. Why didn't the Mishnah state that case? It's to teach us an aside. And that is, Avol Nisarmala Tre Zimne. If in fact the father had married her off and then the husband died, and then the father married her off again, or she married on her own, and then her husband died, Tulo Chazalin Suve. The Chiddush of our Mishnah is, in that situation, she wouldn't have been able to get married a third time, because the Agav Urche is telling us, by the way, Kososel Lontana Ki Rebbe, that our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah that goes like the famous opinion of Rebbe. Rebbe has a famous Machlokes with Rav Shimon Gamaliel, and the Gemara in Yevamos, we had this in other places as well, as to whether two or three times establishes a chazaka. And here, a woman whose husband dies, so she's an isha katlonis. She's, so to say, causing the death of her husband, even though we don't understand or have any clear mechanism how this works, but the Gemara in Yevamos had a couple of reasons as to why this should occur. Bottom line is, she's an isha katlonis, either after two times that her husband died, or three times. Rav Shimon Gamaliel says it takes three times to make her an isha katlonis, and Rebbe says it's only two times. So Rebbe says she can't get married a third time. Rav Shimon Gamaliel says she can't get married on the fourth time. So our Mishnah, Agav Orche, by the way, is a Stam Mishnah. It doesn't tell us who said it, so it's a Stam Mishnah, and we always pass like a Stam Mishnah. Kososim lon tano ki Rebbe. Our Stam Mishnah is like the opinion of Rebbe. The Omar, betray zimne havya chazaka, that she turns into an isha katlonis after only two times. And that's why our Mishnah didn't give us the case of an almana and an amana. It wanted to teach us here, bedavka, gerushin, and an amana, that she still could get married again. And that's the Stam Mishnah showing us it had been Amona. And Amona, that's why it didn't say Amona, Amona, she wouldn't be allowed to get married again. Stam Mishnah, like Rebbe, that two times makes the Chazaka. Then it said in our Mishnah, Yehuda Omer, Harishona Shalav. And Rabbi Yehuda had in the second case where there was Nisuin, in the second part of the Mishnah, where we dealt with Nisuin, and then she got married a second time. So the first time, Rabbi Yehuda says that the father gets the Ksuba. The Tanakama said she gets the ksuba in both cases, but Rehuda said, no, the father gets the ksuba in the first case. My time of the Rehuda, yes, why is that true? After all, once she's in a suwa, she goes into the possession of her husband and not in the domain, the possession of her father. So why should the father get the ksuba? So the Gemara says, the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda is as follows. Rabbi and Yosef, both of them, the Amri Tavaya, both Rabbi and Yosef said, Hoil umishas erisin. Because from the moment of Erisin, that's when the father technically got those rights to the ksuba, and that's when she was still in his domain, at least in part. More questions. It says, Moshe Rava. Rava says to Rabbi Rav Yosef, really? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Harishona Shalah. The following brisa says that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the first one belongs to the father. But it then adds, Umode Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda is Mode to the Chachamim, Bima'aris is Bito Kishi Ketana. If you go and marry off your daughter while she's a Ketana, only the first stage of marriage, and then Ubagwa, and she becomes a Bogeris, the Achekachnisis, and only after she's a Bogeris, do they have the second stage of marriage, the Nisuin stage. In this situation, even Rabbi Yehuda is Mode She'ein Le'avir Rishuzba, that the father has no rights in her whatsoever, and if the husband would now divorce her, the father wouldn't be entitled to get the ksuba. But why? According to you, Rabbi Yehuda, am I? Hochanami, we should say in this situation as well, Lema, Hoil Mishas Erisin, Zocha Ben Av, since the father is getting the ksuba rights from the moment of Erisin, which she was entitled to it because she was still a Kitana, so the father should have acquired the rights then. What difference does it make if she's only a Nesua after she's a Bogeres? So Rava says, obviously you're wrong. But Rava therefore says, if, in fact, we said anything, Rabba and Rav Yosef, this is what they would have said. Rabba, Rav Yosef, Damri Tavayu, they both said as follows, that Hoil Ubirishuso Nichtobim, since the Kesuvah was written while she was still under the father's domain, that's why the father is entitled to it. And when is the Kesuvah written? The Kesuvah is written prior to her becoming a Nesua. And therefore, in our Mishnah, it was written while she was still a Kitana, an Arusa, but a Kitana, under the father's domain. But in the Braisa, she was already a Bogeres before she got married, and therefore, when it was written in the Braisa, she was already a Bogeres and out of her father's domain. And therefore, that's why we reviewed this mode, that when she's a Bogeres and the Ksuba is written, then the father is not entitled to it. But if she was an Arusa, who's a Kitana, or even an Ara, when the Ksuba is written, then, in that situation, the father is entitled to it. That's Rav Yehuda's reasoning. Okay. Now the Gemara asks, Umigba me'emas gavya. We know that a ksuba entitles the woman to a lien on all of her husband's property from the moment that the ksuba is handed over. So, in this situation, Umigba me'emas gavya. At what point in time do we say that the woman is entitled to go and reach out to the people that purchased the properties of her husband and say, listen, my ksuba has a prior lien on those properties and therefore I'm entitled to them if my husband doesn't have any money to pay me, or if the estate, when he dies, doesn't have any money to pay me, she's entitled to go collect her ksuba, which is like a prior lien on any properties that was sold by the husband after the ksuba is written. So the Gemara is asking, Umigba me'emas gavya, from what point in time do we consider the ksuba to have placed the lien on those properties? Essentially, we're asking, is it from the time of the Erisin, or is it from the time that it's written and handed over at the time of the Nisuin? So we have a machlokis. Rav Huna says it depends on what part of the ksuba you're talking about. The mana or mosayim, the entitlement just as a psula of 200, or a ba'ula, let's say she was an almana, of 100, that chiyuv, or obligation, occurs at the time of the Erisin. So that base 100 or 200 of the ksuba is leaned from the moment of the Erisin. And any properties that the husband sells after the Erisin are already leaned by the prior ksuba commitment of the 100 or 200. However, the Tosefis ksuba that's added on, that the husband says, I'll also give you this, I'll give you that, the Tosefis ksuba that we always add on to the base ksuba of 100 or 200, that only takes effect min ha-nisuin, only from the time that the actual nisuin occurs. That's Rav Huna's opinion. Ravasi disagrees. Ravasi amar echod zeh v'echod zeh min ha-nisuin. He says, no, there is no lien at the time of the Erisin. Again, we have the Erisin and the Nisuin a few minutes apart, but they had them a year apart. So the lien doesn't occur until the time of the Nisuin. So any properties that the husband sells between the Erisin and the Nisuin, there is no lien on those properties. That's Rav Asi's opinion. Rav Huna disagrees. He says, no, the base ksuba, there is a lien. It's only the Tosefis ksuba that, I agree with you, Rav Asi doesn't have a lien. We're now questions, Rav Huna. Umi Amar Rav Huna Hachi. Really, did Rav Huna really say that the base ksuba, the 100 or 200, is a lien from the type of the Erisin? But we learned, Hotzia Alav Shtei Ksubos, if a woman produces two ksubos, we'll see in a moment why she might have two ksubos, Achas Shel Masayim, the first ksuba entitles her to 200. The second ksuba, V'achas Shel Sholshmios, entitles her to 300. So, in this situation, which one is the real ksuba? The Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, if she comes to collect Boso Lig Bos Masayim, if she wants to collect the ksuba of 200, which is the base ksuba for a besula, so then Gova Mizman Rishon, then she can collect it from the date that's written in that ksuba, not from the Erisin, but from the date that's written in the ksuba. If she wants to collect with the second ksuba, Shalosh Meyo, she'd rather collect the 300, so then Gova Mizman Sheni, then she's only allowed to collect her lien property from the later date of the second ksuba. Now, if Rav Huna really said that from the time of the Erisin she's entitled to the 200, the Mono Masayim, Vim Isa, so then what difference does it make? Tigavi Masayim Mizman Rishon, she should be entitled to collect the 200 from the first Ksuba from the time of the Zman Rishon, and she should be entitled to collect another 100, Umeya Mizman Sheni, because the base 200 she was entitled to from the time of Erisin. So anything extra she should be able to collect. So she should be able to collect 300, 200 of which can be from the earlier lien, and only 100 has to be from the later lien. So Gemara says, no, that's incorrect. According to you, Ulutaymech, according to you, Tigbe Chamesh Mios Kulam, she should be allowed to collect the entire 500. She can collect the original 200, Masayim Isman Rishon, from the original writing of the Ksuba, from the Erisin, she should be able to collect that one. And then the Tlos Meya, the extra 300, Misman Sheni, she should be able to collect from the later date, from the second Ksuba. But you didn't agree to that, so why not? Ella, Chamesh Mios, my time of Logavia, why can't she collect the full 500 according to what you're saying? Because Kiva the Lokosav law, since he didn't write in the Ksuba, so a VC that I'm commanding over here, the Yosefus law, I'm adding on Tosefus Ksuba, Tlos Meya Amosayim, I'm adding on 300 on top of the 200. He didn't write that. If he'd written that, then Tosus points out in the first Tosus on Memdalit or Medalit, then in fact she would get all 500. But he didn't write that. What he basically is saying over here is Hochikom Allah. If you want to collect 200 from the earlier date and have my lien properties from then, gizuntahit. But if you want to collect 300, then you can only collect it from the later lien properties. Imizman Rishon, Gavya, Gavias, Gavya, Masayim. Then you can only collect 200. If you want, Imizman Sheni, if you want to collect the 300, Gavias, Gavias, Tlasmeya, but only from lien property from that point in time, if I don't have it in my estate. That's what Rav Huna is saying. And the reasoning is, if we turn to Memdalit or Medalit, Hochanami, Hainu time of the Logavya, that's why she could only collect 200 and not 300, as you wanted to suggest, because midelo kosav lo, because the second ksuba wasn't saying, I'm adding on Tosefus ksuba, it was saying, these are the two potentials. You can either collect the first ksuba at 200 only, but it's an earlier lien, or if you want the higher amount, but you're going to have to go with the later lien, when maybe I've sold some of my other properties already. Midelo kosav lo, osefus loch meya, Amasayim, since he didn't write in the second ksuba, I'm adding on a Tosefus ksuba, so therefore, achule achilte l'shibuda kaba. What we're essentially saying over here is, by having a second ksuba, if she chooses to collect from that second ksuba, it essentially abrogates, it gets rid of the first ksuba, it's making it chol, it's making it null and void, by her bringing forth the second ksuba and saying, I'd rather collect with a 300, and I'll take my chances that there's less lien property at that point in time. Now, tomorrow we'll go over Rav Huna's statement a little bit more, and we'll add on some additional things, but this is a good break point, so with this we conclude today's share.